This is the weekly sermon from Church of the Holy Trinity, a Reformed Episcopal parish of the Anglican Church in North America in Houston, Texas. Please join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:30 a.m. for Holy Communion and visit us on the web at holytrinityrec.org. Please enjoy the sermon.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Make us love that which thou dost command. This, as we prayed towards the end of our collect prayer for this week, speaks of the need to do as we ought in Christian love. We pray for the ability to love God's word, to love God's commandments. When we baptize a young child, as we did this morning with Clive, we raise them to love the Word of God, to love the commandments. We want to instill the love of God's law through setting the example in our own lives of loving His Word. With our children, it also means that we love to do His will. Of course, we all go through times in our lives, for lack of a better phrase, we lose our love for something or our feelings for something for a season. Yet we, out of a deeper sense of love that is beyond emotions and beyond feelings, still do as we know is right. Too many in our culture today abandon important things, important institutions such as marriage, when the feeling is not there anymore, to the point more and more of our existence is based upon emotion, feelings, and nothing else. Yet life sometimes contains times where true fidelity and love finds expression only in a faithful loyalty, when the emotions and feelings are absent. The promises made on behalf of Clive this morning by all of us present were not based on feelings, were not based on emotions, but upon a solemn obligation to love that which God commands. It means that even when feelings fade for a time, God's word remains constant and steadfast to help us weather all the storms of this life. The baptism of young children is a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong commitment of all of us to this child and to all our fellow baptized Christians in the faith, to look towards our lesson today in Deuteronomy chapter 8, toward a life that is in the humility of Jesus Christ, to a life that is based on feeding on the Word of God, to live by the Word of God. This morning, let us see how God makes us love His commandments through instilling humility, instilling our lives to be reliant upon the sustenance of His Word. The first step is to flee from the constant temptation we all face in this life of pride by loving what God commands, by a godly humility. As we read today in verse 2 of our Old Testament reading, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not." We see three things here that teach us or instill in us godly humility. First, the time the Lord gives us. In this particular passage, the 40 years in the wilderness. Second, opportunities in life for remembrance, to remember the great deeds that the Lord has enacted for us to save us. And third, as we saw in this brief verse, testing. God used a long period of chastisement to teach His people submission in the wilderness, which in turn means a people that have been humbled, willing to love God from the heart. Often when we face trials in this life, they indeed are tests, building us up in the faith through the grace of Jesus Christ to endure all things through His love. Often in the midst of trying, humbling tests, we can succumb to the rage that we see all around us in this world to neglect love. Yet we need testing from time to time to remain lowly, to remain meek, to see our need to repent and to cling to Christ so that we can serve God and serve others. As James reminds us in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. We have to see that the time that God gives us in our lives, the things that God gives us to remember in our lives, and the testing he gives us in our lives all humble us. Deuteronomy 8:5 speaks of another important component that teaches humility. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. The word in Hebrew used here for discipline and throughout the Old Testament has the idea of correcting words, also the rod and so forth, for both parents to their children and the Lord with his people. The idea behind such discipline is always, as we see God does repeatedly in our lives, in a spirit of love, gentleness, and patience. In essence, even for the parent administering proper godly discipline, it's an act of submission to God and instills humility in listening to his commandments over the ways of this world that seek every way possible to instill selfish pride. True discipline is always patient. It is always humbling. Ungodly discipline is always impatient and prideful. One thing that inspires me with important events in our history or even important events in my own personal life is the way remembrance is used to bring humility and gratitude. This gratitude and humility drives us closer and closer to Jesus Christ and his love over the twisted, selfish love of this world. Deuteronomy 8:18 states, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day." Remembrance that instills humility has actions associated with it, as we experience at this time and every time we worship God. This is why the worship of God must remember through humility, through adoration, through praise, through reverence. If worship seeks to boost the person's pride and the person's emotions and feelings to the neglect of the supremacy of Jesus Christ, it ceases to be helpful, ceases to be true and godly worship. When we raise our children from baptism onwards in the faith, teaching the importance of godly remembrance is critical. Such teaches us all humility. When humility through remembrance is replaced, though, by elevating self over those things we need to remember, we will turn out to be nothing but a selfish, greedy, and hateful culture. Remembrance for humanity that instills humility entails all of our senses. We see this throughout Holy Scripture. Often, though, we in our pride and sin seek to erase the dirty underbelly of the past by glorifying only those things we see necessary to remember. Yet when we glorify only that which we think is good, we will lose sight of the remembrance that instills a humility, that instills a healthy desire to repent. Instead, we will only seek things to remember that instill an ungodly pride, leaving out the sinful details we don't want to deal with at any level. There's a tendency in some to pine away for past periods of time that we elevate almost as the epitome of a time of righteousness. In such, we can lose sight of the fact that when we do this type of remembrance, we put ourselves in dangerous ground. We elevate periods of time that have the same 100% sin rate of the population as we experience today. As Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10 reminds us, "Say not, why were the former days better than these? for it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Remembrance that instills godly humility is honest and willing to deal with all the pleasant and unpleasant memories and records of the past, just as the Bible presents it for our learning. This brings us to our last point this morning, and how we must avoid pride and to love the thing which God commands us, that we are to live by God's word, as we are reminded in verse 3 of our Old Testament reading. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The connection we see in this verse between humility and the word of God is critical. As verse 1 of this lesson states, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do. Keeping involves a humble submission to the word of God. Keeping does not mean we approach the word of God with the sinful motivation to master it as we would master any book or subject of this world. See, when we seek to approach the word of God on worldly terms or on our own terms, we do so through pride. We seek to twist parts of the scriptures so that we think we can get away with disregarding the entire word of God, and we become no better than the Pharisees of old. Humility is instilled only when we submit more and more to the entire counsel of God's word as it has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Keeping the word is to know Jesus Christ fulfilled the word, the law, completely and fully for us, meaning we rest in his finished work. This enables us to submit to a humble lifestyle of seeking Christ to keep his word. This humble keeping is instilled through remembrance as well. For us, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we will in a few moments, the manna Jesus gives us, we do so out of remembrance. This is a remembrance that keeps the feast, that keeps the word as commanded by Jesus Christ through submitting to the sustenance of his body and blood, the bread and wine that he commanded. The basis of our remembrance is what God has accomplished for us. This undeserved grace pulls us from the selfish ambitions that we all are prone to be pulled towards, to the service of Jesus Christ, to the service of our fellow human beings. We cannot do this in our own merits or with our own strength. It is firmly by God's grace, by God's work. As we read at the end of our psalm today, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our words and our meditations are only acceptable through Jesus Christ. His words, through meditation upon them, through submission of our lives to them, work in us to let our words truly bear Jesus Christ to all that we speak to in this life. When we rely on God as our rock, as our fortress, our worries over time lessen and our hopes increase. Relying on Jesus as our rock and our Redeemer is daily. It is a daily mode of gratitude, of being thankful in God's word by his fulfilled promises over the words of sinful humanity that constantly break their promises. It is to trust in Jesus Christ over all other human institutions. It is, as we read today in the gospel lesson, with one foreigner, one Samaritan out of the 10 lepers that returned to be grateful, to be thankful, and to worship Jesus Christ for healing him, while all the others sought human words and human acceptance. This reliance takes precedence, and it is what we promise today on behalf of Clive. When he gets to the age where he can own this reliance for himself and profess the same before his brothers and sisters locally and before the bishop that represents the entire church, this faith, this reliance will be confirmed through the laying on of hands. Holy baptism, as we celebrated this morning, is a supreme act of humility, supreme act of love for God, a submission to his sovereignty over our lives. even the lives of our children. We are grateful that he works in our lives to purge the works of the flesh that we read about today in Galatians, to replace them with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives is the work and the cultivation of Jesus Christ over the entirety of our lives, beginning with even the young children in the arms of Jesus Christ, ignoring the disciples' admonitions to push them away. See, the work of God confounds humanity in every single instance. Where we think naturally that we have to rely on our own intellect, God calls us to himself when he sees fit, showing forth his grace and power even from the mouth of babes, as we read in Matthew chapter 21, 15 and 16. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" God works in all of us as his people, from infants to those advanced in years. Our call out of humility and love is to ask God for help out of our pride, out of looking out for self. This baptism today is a beginning, linked moment to moment, day to day, Sunday to Sunday, month to month, year to year. This moment is linked by all the days to come where Clive will learn and from those around him to love the commandments of God, and to love others enough to give up self-centered pride. The call upon all of us is to encourage and to assist Clive and his family to link this day with the Word of God and the worship of God, to be humble by relying on him for our spiritual sustenance, learning through us to feed upon the Word of God all the days of our lives. May it be so for all of us. May it be so for Clive. Make us love that which thou dost command. Amen.